Okay, Parshios Baharim B'chukosai, which will, of course, bring us back into concert with Achenu B'nai Yisrael, who are in Eretz Yisrael. So the Parsha begins, at least for B'nai Chutz La'aretz, with the understanding that Hashem spoke to Moshe Bahar Sinai, and of course, Rashi in his famous commentary asks the ever-popular question, Ma Inyan Shmita Etzel Har Sinai, why is Har Sinai mentioned as the location for the context of the mitzvah of Shemitah? And Rashi's explanation notwithstanding, Hagona Rav Asher Weiss Shalita notes that there are two individuals who are referred to in the Midrashim as Gibore Koach Lishmoa B'Kol Devaro, the strong individuals who show a great strength listening to the word of Hashem. Those two individuals are those who are Shomer Shvius, those who are careful to keep the Shemitah year, and also B'nai Yisrael around Mamad Har Sinai. And why are these two comparable? So Rav Asher explains that both had to overcome their own inclination. B'nai Yisrael at the base of Har Sinai, when they came along and they placed Nasa before Nishma, which is in diametric opposition to the nature of a person, people normally think first and then act. When B'nai Yisrael said, we will do first because we're listening to Hashem, then that process shows somebody who is overcoming his own inclination. He is a Kobe Shes Yisrael, and therefore demonstrates that he or she is a Gibor Koach for the word of Hashem. Similarly, the agriculturalist who grows, thinking that what he reaps is based on what he alone sows, Kochi Botim Yadi Asali Azachayal Azah, and then learns that on a particular year, not to sow, but rather to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead, such a person is also overcoming what is normal for him to do. And that person also takes on the title of Gibore Koach. The point of bringing Shemitah to Har Sinai, then, is a chance to highlight the special ability Jews have of overcoming their natural obstacles, their teva, in order to be able to serve Hashem no matter what happens. We're told later in the parsha that when it comes to different opportunities that present themselves, al tikach meito neshach v'tarbis, when you lend money, right, you have to make as kaspecha lo sitein lo b'neshach, that we have to be careful not to give our money over with interest. And the Chabina Rav Zatzal quoted his father, the Kochav Miyakov, who asked why the word titein, as kaspecha lo titein, is used here, instead of the more precise word for a loan, which is halva, or to lend. And the Chabina Rav explains that, quite honestly, the punishment for lending, when one lends with interest, is that you lose your wealth in the process. It's as if you're merely throwing away your money or giving it away. So the Torah warns us, if you're going to give it away with interest, it won't be a halva. It's lo sitein lo. Don't give away money just because you wanted to earn a little interest. Don't do it. It's a danger. Later on, the Torah tells us, "V'snachaltem osam livnechem acharechem lareshes achuzah," that we have a responsibility to pass the avadim over to the children afterwards. And the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Chavbeis Amid Beis learns that an Eved Kenani is hukash lekarkos, is compared to karka. Now Rashi and Kiddushin on Daf Zayin Amar Aleph applies this rule to free man as well. That is to say, man, in all of his different statuses, is still hukash lekarkos, is still compared to land. So Moran, Rav Shachter Shalita, explains often in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the logic over here can be explained homiletically. That is to say, many people assume that a proper philosophy on life is here today, gone tomorrow. Or as sung by Mordechai ben David many years ago, Ha'avar ayin, ha'asid adayin, ha'hovek ha'arif ayin, daga minayin, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. The outlook of life should be one focused on the here and the now, with no care for a past or a future. Rashi used to tell us Jewish philosophy doesn't see man that way. Jewish philosophy wants us to see man, Ke'et HaSadeh, that man is like a tree in the land. He's rooted in a strong past, and in an ideal form yields wonderful fruit in the future. Therefore, each of us has a responsibility to life to serve as a link to a glory, of a glorious past to a bright future and destiny. And so therefore man has a responsibility to think about his place in history as well as his place in creating destiny. V'snachaltem osam livnechem achreichem lachuzes olam. We have responsibility to create a Yerusha for our children, a Yerusha of dedication, a Yerusha of midos, a Yerusha of life. And that can only come when we see our responsibilities that exist beyond ourselves. The Torah tells us in Bechukosai Teilechu, and Rashi notes that this pasuk comes to teach us of our responsibility, Lios Amelim BaTorah, right? Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah, says Rashi. And we can certainly see why Bechukosai Teilechu refers to Liman HaTorah, but where does one get the impression that it's also a reference to Amelus BaTorah? So, Rushmul Rozovsky Zatzal, the late Panovich Rosh Hashiva, explains that the word halicha, or moving, implies a constant movement or fluidity. That fluidity, says Rushmul Rozovsky, is impossible without depth in Torah or Amelus. There's nothing more. There's a finite amount where you get to an end, unless you realize that there's a concept of Amelus, which demands that no matter how hard you go, there is no end. Torah doesn't have an end. Torah always has room for more Avelus. On the alternative side, we also read the Tochacha the Shabbos, and there we're told, as an introduction to the opposite, instead of im bechukosai teilechu, v'im bechukosai timasu, if you despise my chukim. And the question has to be raised, is there no middle ground between the depth of total Torah immersion of Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah, and then im bechukosai timasu, that if you totally despise my chukim? So, another Panovich Rosh Hashiva, the late great Rav Shach Zatzal, explains that when one's accustomed to toiling in Torah, then there are no debates in his life. Everything he does is seen through the prism of Torah. Even crises of faith can be explained through the Torah eye. And even when not clear right now, the individual works on his strength in order to understand the crisis, and does not allow his faith to be shaken until the Torah provides him a basis from within which to explain the crisis. However, if God forbid one doesn't toil in Torah, then the chances are that there will be much that will be unexplained. And by the way, the questions become vast, and so the slippage towards the track of hating Torah is not that far behind. Therefore, Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah, become anchored in a Torah life, become anchored in a belief system that hafach ba v'hafach ba dekula ba, that one needs to continue to turn the pages again and again and again in Torah life. If we make it our business to do so, we'll make sure that we never falter. Torah tells us, Imtelchu imi bekeri, afani eilech itchem b'chamas keri. Torah says that if you walk with me bekeri, and Rashi explains that word keri, refers to a concept of irregularity, or being arai. Rashi sounds like he's explaining over here that when one keeps the Torah irregularly, it creates many problems with his relationship with Hashem. The late Greek Gaon Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal explains that the concept of keri, of being irregular, can have both quantitative and qualitative aspects at the same time. On the one hand, one might quantitatively approach Torah only when it fits his schedule. This doesn't really lead to punctilious observance. It doesn't lead to somebody who is going to push himself to keep the Torah. If it's a question of irregularity, then it's going to lead to the opposite. At the same time, qualitatively, one can perform mitzvahs regularly, but half-heartedly. This perhaps explains the concept of hergel, and hergel aveira. Kviyut, the idea of the opposite of keri, says Rav Lichtenstein, entails the experience that Torah and mitzvahs are indispensable for our existence. It's the feeling that comes, ki hem chayenu viorech yamenu, that the words of Torah are our lives, and it's what leads to the length of our days, which leads to the understanding of, al tosir mimenu liolamim, uvahem negeyomam valayla, that we will involve ourselves in these mitzvahs each and every day and night, and your love for us will never be taken away. Imtelchu mimi bikari, if you're going to just haphazardly deal with the Ribono Shel Olam irregularly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with us irregularly. The opposite needs to be our focus. We need God in our lives fully and totally, and then we will grow at the same time. Finally, in the parsha, V'afgam zos be'eretz oyveim lo ma'astim lo galtim l'chalosam ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Even with all of the trials and the tribulations that we go through, God never despises us. Why? Because ani Hashem Elokeichem. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? The Lubliner Magid Zatzal would often explain this pasuk with a mashal about a particular tailor who was hired to do a tremendous amount of work for the king, the royal family, and the king's armies. The tailor and his family, therefore, were moved into special quarters in the palace, and all of the tailor's expenses were in regard to his work were taken care of. Unfortunately for the tailor, he became very ill and he was unable to work. Searching for the right doctors took a lot of time, and since the expense was not related to work and therefore not covered by the crown, it also started to add up on the tailor and his family financially. At one point, the tailor and his wife realized that they would need to sell all their possessions in order to pay their medical bills. So the tailor's wife said, "Look, let's deal with our luxuries first." And so she suggested that he sell his new high-class sewing machine. However, the tailor told her that this was one of the only possessions that, given their present predicament, they could not sell. Says the tailor, the king was being very patient with them, and he was allowing them to live and be fed daily at the palace, even though the tailor was not working, simply because he knew that the tailor was the best, and eventually, by the king waiting, his efforts would pay off. However, if the tailor were to sell a sewing machine, it would be evident that he was not planning on finishing the job, and would thus be thrown out, or God forbid, even worse. The king would give up on him. The Lubliner Magid suggested that the same thing was true about us. Despite galus, which keeps us functional in our relationship with Hashem, what keeps us functional in the galus is the fact that we constantly confirm to ourselves, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the fact that in galus we believe in Hashem no matter what. It is the tailor. It is the sewing machine. It guarantees that eventually we will turn our hearts and our minds towards Yerushalayim and towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with our hopes as we say daily thrice, V'sechazeno einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim. Finally, in the Haftorah, we focus on the concept of Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. We highlight the fact that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu serves Kabiachol as a mikveh. Here the word mikveh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting and placing his hope in us, and we place our hope in him. But Rav Soloveitchik noted that the concept of purification in the mikveh is that man must engage in the process himself in going to the mikveh. And the same thing is true here as well. In order to make the move toward Hashem, man must first act and take the step first towards him. Hashem is not going to take the first step. We have that responsibility. I know that we can do it. And with God's help, Na'ala L'Tzion Berina together, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach.